In the last essay, we explored how derivatives act as the shadow engine of markets, flows that ripple from the options pit into the visible surface of price. This time, we step closer to the screen itself, to the figure who stands between every buyer and seller. The market maker is often cast as referee, neutral and impartial, but beneath the mask of neutrality lies a deeper truth, the illusion of the referee. We are told the market maker is a referee, a silent guardian of liquidity, a neutral hand ensuring that the game flows smoothly, that buyers always find sellers and sellers always find buyers. This story is appealing. It offers a sense of order in a system that otherwise feels chaotic. If there is a referee, then there are rules. If there is a referee, then there is fairness. The market becomes a level field, overseen by an impartial authority who ensures the contest is played cleanly. But markets are not neutral grounds. They are structured theaters of advantage, and the so-called referee is not impartial. The market maker is not standing outside the game. They are embedded within it. They see the flow of orders before anyone else. They adjust quotes to their own benefit. They provide liquidity not as a gift, but as a service with a price. The image of neutrality masks a deeper truth. The market maker's survival depends on extracting value from flow. They profit not by holding opinions about what an asset is worth, but by ensuring that every trade carries a small edge in their favor. They do not enforce rules, they exploit them. This illusion matters because it shapes how we, the crowd, interpret markets. We believe prices emerge organically from the collective weight of buyers and sellers. But every price is filtered through the hands of intermediaries whose interest is not fairness, but profit. The referee is simply another player, one positioned more strategically than the rest. The market maker is not a referee. They are a player with vested interest disguised as neutrality. The spread is price of admission. Every market has a toll. In finance, that toll is the spread, the thin margin between the bid and the ask. It seems trivial, a few cents here, a fraction of a percent there. But this small gap is the hinge on which entire fortunes swing. To the trader, the spread feels like a cost of doing business. To the market maker, it is the lifeblood of survival. The spread is their wage for standing ready. Every time you cross it, you pay tribute not to the market in the abstract, but to the dealer standing on the other side. The spread is not constant. In calm times, when volatility is low and order flow is balanced, spreads compress. On major FX pairs or S&P futures, the difference between bid and ask can narrow to almost nothing. A single tick, the illusion of a frictionless market. Liquidity feels abundant, as if neutrality has returned. But when storms gather, spreads widen. The toll rises. The market maker demands greater compensation for bearing risk. What looks like a number on a screen is really a barometer of fear, measured not in sentiment, but in the willingness of liquidity providers to engage. We saw this in March 2020, when Bitcoin collapsed alongside global markets. Order books thinned to near emptiness as panic selling took hold. Spreads that had once been measured in single dollars exploded into hundreds. Traders desperate to exit paid exorbitant tolls, not because the market had disappeared, but because those who normally stood in the middle had pulled back or widened their quotes to survive. Neutrality collapsed, and survival dictated the price of admission. Importantly, the spread is not a measure of value. It is a measure of risk perception. The price you pay to enter or exit is not simply what the market believes an asset is worth. It is what the market maker believes they must charge to protect themselves. Value is distorted through the lens of survival. This is why spreads widen in crises. Neutrality cannot survive when uncertainty is high. Liquidity is not a public good, but a private concession. And the price of that concession, the toll at the bridge, is always set by those who control it. Inventory balancing, the hidden push and pull. A market maker's task does not end when they quote a price. The moment they step in to buy from a seller or sell to a buyer, they inherit risk. That risk sits on their book as inventory. An inventory is never neutral. If they buy too much, they become heavy with exposure. If they sell too much, they become dangerously short. The game then becomes one of balance, constantly adjusting, constantly leaning, never still. Every transaction reshapes the book, and every reshaping demands a new response. Because they intermediate the majority of flow, market makers often control the bulk of liquid supply at any moment in time. They are not just responding to order flow, they are redistributing it. Their book becomes the bottleneck through which all trades must pass, giving them a structural lever over price itself. On crypto exchanges, for instance, a handful of market makers can provide 60 to 70% of visible liquidity on the order book. When they pull back or tilt their positions, the entire market feels the shift. This balancing act itself moves markets. Prices do not rise only because new demand appears, nor do they fall only because fear grips the crowd. Often they shift because a dealer, overexposed in one direction, begins to quietly unwind. What appears to be momentum may simply be a market maker cleaning their book. This hidden push and pull is invisible to most traders. The chart shows price and volume, but not the dealer's inventory. Yet behind the curtain, these adjustments ripple outward. A single desk's need to lighten a position can cascade into apparent trends, misleading those who assume price action is pure signal. OTC desks as the shadow extension. Not all rebalancing happens in the open. Large trades are often too disruptive to be shown on an exchange order book. For this, there is another stage, the over-the-counter OTC desk. Here, size can move without rippling the visible surface. Institutions unload blocks or acquire exposure discreetly, negotiating bilaterally with a dealer rather than flashing orders to the crowd. The illusion of neutrality remains, the desk claims to facilitate, but in truth, it is yet another mask for vested interest. In the shadows, prices are not discovered, they are negotiated. The OTC desk sets the terms, widens spreads, and tilts the bargain in its own favor. What seems like invisible liquidity is simply inventory management out of sight, its effects only later revealed when hedges flow back into public markets. OTC is inventory management in the shadows, where price discovery is replaced by negotiation. Adverse selection, the fear of the informed. Every market maker lives with a quiet fear that the person trading against them knows more than they do. This is the essence of adverse selection, the possibility that the flow crossing the spread is not random but informed. Imagine standing ready to buy from every seller. Most of the time, the flow is noise, retail orders, rebalancing funds, hedging transactions. But sometimes, hidden among the noise is signal. A trader who knows something, a fund with privileged information, a participant whose order carries knowledge that has not yet been priced. For the market maker, this is the nightmare. If they sell too cheaply to someone who knows the asset is about to rise, or if they buy too expensively from someone unloading before bad news, the dealer inherits the loss. Neutrality offers no protection. In fact, neutrality makes them a target. This is why spreads exist, not simply as compensation for providing liquidity, but as armor against information asymmetry. The wider the spread, the more room to absorb potential loss from informed flow. When volatility spikes, when rumors swirl, when uncertainty thickens, spreads widen dramatically. The toll rises because the fear of being picked off grows unbearable, and when fear becomes too great, liquidity can vanish entirely. Market makers pull their quotes. They step back from the book. In crises, it is not demand or supply that disappears. It is the willingness of liquidity providers to stand neutral in the storm. The illusion of continuous markets breaks, revealing that participation was conditional all along. This fragility explains why market depth thins during crashes. It is not that buyers and sellers cease to exist. It is that those who stood between them refuse to play referee when the game becomes too dangerous. Neutrality collapses under the weight of informed risk. Hedging and the derivative link. A market maker rarely leaves themselves exposed. Every position they take on in the service of providing liquidity must be offset somewhere else. This is the quiet choreography of hedging, the unseen adjustments that ripple outward from one market into another. When a dealer sells options, they do not simply pocket the premium and wait. They calculate the delta of their exposure and hedge by buying or selling the underlying asset. As option prices shift, so too does their hedge. This creates a feedback loop. What begins as an options trade becomes a series of moves in the spot market, each adjustment echoing into visible price action. In quiet times, this hedging feels benign, like background noise. But when flows are large, the feedback loop becomes a force of its own. A wave of call buying forces dealers to hedge by buying the underlying. Their buying pushes the price higher, which increases their exposure, demanding still more buying. The cycle feeds itself, a mechanical spiral driven not by sentiment but by balance sheet necessity. The reverse holds as well. Put buying can trigger dealer selling, depressing prices beyond what organic demand would suggest. What looks like momentum is often no more than hedging pressure. In these moments, the market becomes less a reflection of collective belief and more a mirror of dealer positioning. This is the hidden connection between derivatives and the spot market. The flows of one dictate the adjustments of the other. It is not neutrality, it is choreography. The dealer is compelled to move, and in moving, they move the market. Vested interest and structural power neutrality is the story we are told. It is the mask placed over the mechanics of the market. The spread, we are told, is fair compensation. Inventory management, we are told, is a public service. Hedging, we are told, is simple risk control. But each of these reveals the same truth when examined closely. The system is tilted toward those who stand between. The spread is not a gift of liquidity. It is a toll extracted by those who control the bridge. Inventory balancing is not benevolent stability. It is a dealer's survival mechanism that bends price to their needs. OTC desks are not neutral facilitators. They are backrooms where opacity replaces discovery. Hedging is not protection for the market. It is protection for the market maker, whose adjustments can become the very forces that drive price. The illusion of neutrality persists because it is useful. If participants believe the referee is impartial, they will continue to play the game. But the referee is not impartial. The referee is a player, one positioned with superior tools, superior visibility, and a mandate to serve themselves first. This is not corruption. It is architecture. Markets are built this way. They require dealers with vested interest because without them, liquidity would collapse. But the price of that architecture is asymmetry. What appears as a level field is in truth tilted ground. Market makers do not merely stand inside the game. They shape its terrain. They profit not by predicting the future, but by structuring the present. They do not enforce fairness. They enforce survival, their own. Why this matters? It is tempting to treat these mechanics as distant curiosities, the inner workings of liquidity providers irrelevant to the everyday investor. But this would be a mistake. Market structure is not academic. It is the hidden architecture that shapes every chart, every trade, every portfolio. When you buy an asset, you do not step into a neutral arena. You step into a structure where the first toll is always the spread, where the first counterparty is almost always a dealer. Your entry and exit are framed by someone else's vested interest. Even if you believe you are trading with the market, you are in truth trading with the market maker. For long-term investors, this may feel invisible, but spreads, inventory shifts, and hedging flows ripple outward into the very indices and funds that anchor retirement accounts and pensions. What appears to be the slow, steady march of value is constantly nudged by the unseen balancing acts of dealers managing their own survival. For active traders, the consequences are sharper. False signals, whipsaws, moves that appear to emerge from collective belief, but are, in fact, the shadow footprints of inventory adjustments or hedging flows. The market does not always move because of you. It often moves because of them. And at the systemic level, the illusion of neutrality creates complacency. We accept volatility as irrational panic, liquidity crises as acts of nature. Yet beneath each lies the same engine, participants who are not referees, but players. Neutrality is a story, and like all stories, it obscures the power of those who benefit from its telling. Conclusion, the hidden hand. If you look only at price, you will miss the hand that shaped it. If you believe the story of neutrality, you will mistake theater for truth. The market maker is not a referee. They are a player, not neutral, vested, not passive, architect. The spread is not a courtesy, it is a toll. Inventory balancing is not stability, it is survival. Hedging is not background noise, it is choreography. OTC is not transparency, it is shadow. The lesson is not to rage against this design, but to see it clearly. Markets require intermediaries. They require liquidity, but liquidity always comes at a price measured not in fairness, but in leverage. The hidden hand is not invisible, it is disguised, and once seen, it cannot be unseen. So the next time you cross the spread, pause. Ask yourself whose book you are filling, whose risk you are absorbing, whose architecture you are stepping into. You may find that the game was never neutral. It was always tilted. And yet, awareness itself is a kind of power. To see the hand is the first step in no longer being led by it. Series note. This post is part of the Understanding Market Mechanics series. It follows the shadow engine of markets by pulling the lens from derivatives to the dealers themselves. It connects back to the philosophy of markets, where liquidity is revealed as choreography rather than neutrality, and sets the stage for our coming discussion of hidden venues and information asymmetry.